In 2004, Kasim the Dream Uma became a boxing star when he won the title Junior Middleweight Champion of the World. But his life didn't start out so rosy. Kasim is originally from Uganda, and when he was 6 years old, he was kidnapped by rebels and became a soldier in the National Resistance Army. After 12 years of warfare, Kasim deserted the army and sought asylum in the United States and became a boxing champ. It's a story worthy of a movie, and now one has been made. It's called Kasim the Dream by filmmaker Keith Davidson, and it's premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival here in New York. Kasim and Keith are both here with me now. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
So, Keith, where did you get the inspiration to do this film? Are you a boxing fan?
I'm not a boxing fan at all. Actually, I've become one since taking on this project. My wife and co-producer, Kathleen Davidson, she was flipping through the channels one night, and I came across this short 8-minute segment that Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. And, you know, I immediately, when I came home, hit the TiVo and watched it, and here Kasim Uma was, big smile on his face all the time. And they were talking about Kasim being a former child soldier, kidnapped at 6, killed numerous people. And he just was so charismatic. And I just needed to know more about him. So that was the beginning for me. And I then contacted the manager, and about 100 other people contacted the manager at the same time. Everyone wanted these story rights to do a film on Kasim.
Huh. Kasim, tell me why boxing?
Well, boxing is what made me who I am right now, to better my life, you know, according to what I've been through. So I choose boxing.
Do you ever think that it was a bit of a contradiction that boxing, you know, where you hit people, was therapy for you when you were young and you had to kill people in real life?
Well, when I was young and I had to kill people in life, I was just doing what I'm asked to do. And that was what I was supposed to do. And I did it, but I still didn't lose hope, because the main thing is, like, I lost my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to lose hope, I should have lost it. But I was like, no, I'm not going to lose it. Then, you know, I brought boxing in as my therapy. It helped me to forget about other things and keep on with my dream.
You started boxing when you were a child in Uganda?
Yes, yeah, I started boxing when I was 14 years old.
What do you think about when you're boxing?
Well, I don't be thinking about nothing. I just be thinking about the guy in front of me in the ring.
2 years after you were kidnapped, the rebels you were fighting for took over the government, and President Museveni, who is still the president of Uganda now, was the leader of the army that kidnapped you. And yet, you still say you fight for Uganda every time you step into the ring. Do you feel like you're fighting for Uganda's government as well as its people?
Well, altogether, I feel like I fight for Uganda, and Uganda, it has a government. So as I've had boxing for my therapy, I use it to forget a lot of things that happened to me in my life. And now, even I lost my childhood, I know somebody had to be a freedom fighter. Ever since we fought and took over the government that was in the power, Uganda, most of the places been peace, and it's been nice place to visit.
Keith, let me ask you this. What were the things that surprised you as you got to know Kasim? Because I'll say, just from watching the film, Kasim, you were told as a child that you couldn't have any emotions. When they kidnapped you, they said if you cried, they'd kill you. And you had to shut off all those emotions. And yet in the film, you smile so easily, and you tell people that you love them very easily. And you're so playful with your children. What surprised you, Keith?
There's things that Kasim talks about in the movie that he's never discussed really with anyone in public. And I commend him for his bravery in doing so. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's not an easy thing to ultimately see yourself on the big screen. Talking about the fact that he, you know, killed people and he's tortured people and he's done terrible things. You know, but what he says is true. It's like he was kidnapped as a young child, and you know, he was a victim and a perpetrator, and that was the life he knew. And you know, for me, I really came to like Kasim. We became very good friends, and the trust in the end, I think, was genuine. And you know, I'm just very honored that he revealed as much as he did to me in this film.
Kasim, why did you want to reveal these things? I imagine it's hard for you to talk about them.
Because the thing was like, I have to bring the awareness to the world.
You want to bring awareness?
The awareness so the world can get to know that there's, you know, things that happen in life. So since I had the chance, I have a chance to let everything out, let the world know that there's a lot of things out there. So I'd bring this the world to know about it, and at the same time to get a chance to be able to talk for my people as an African people, you know, talk about the African leaders, to talk about like the health life in Africa, mm-hmm. talk about how people are living in the IDP camps. So it's a really good thing.
Let's go back to your childhood, which was a childhood where you were forced to do horrible things. And you said you still always had hope. Why do you think you had hope?
Because I have hope, like, you know, not to lose it. In life, you never know how you're going to do, no matter how hard you suffer and how hard you know, things come hard, bad on you. It's always, God always make another way, differently, for to take your life. So
you believe in God?
I believe in God, and, you know, I have hope, and, I, you know, I don't lose it.
Kasim, tell us what happened to your family after you deserted.
Well, what happened to my family is like I just been told when my mom was still back there. She was there, she can't tell you the most, but my dad, you know, got killed. So I'm not so sure.
The government killed your dad?
Yeah, I'm not so sure what happened. My mom, what she said, is like the soldiers. So I wasn't there. I cannot really tell a story how it was.
Right.
But, you know, I got told. So I just got, you know, killed my dad.
Actually, I mean, in the film, the mother does tell the story, and I think it's very difficult for Kasim to listen and, mm-hmm. and watch his mother tell the story in detail as to how his father was killed. And I know for Kasim, there's, you know, clearly a tremendous amount of guilt because he did leave, and, you know, I don't know, Kasim. I'm not sure if it's in the end. Was it helpful for you to see this on the film?
That's a great question.
Well, it was. I don't know how helpful I can say that it was, but it was really hard. You know, as you can see in the film, for the first time when I went home.
You returned to your village after 10 years, yeah.
When I returned to my village in the gate, you know, I could not even sit down. And I just have to go and look at my daddy's grave, you know, trying to feel that, but still can't feel good because I was about to lose it when I heard that my dad got killed and stuff. One of my managers, Jimmy Rowan, if he was not to hide my passport, I should have been gone. And there was a chance of, like, if I was to go, I was not going to be able to come back, or I should have been killed too.
Right, because you had to get officially pardoned for desertion in order to return to your home. And there's this scene where the Ugandan ambassador in the U.S. is basically saying, you need to apologize for deserting, and then you'll get pardoned. First of all, did you ever apologize?
Well, I never apologized, but, you know, I asked for you know, to go home.
Yeah.
And then Keith Davidson, too, you know, he helped out a lot with the cameras and... you know, being like he's doing a film on me, and he's pushing, we have to go home, so we can end it.
It's an astonishing thing that they ask Kasim to apologize, deserting the army that he was kidnapped into as a child. Keith, what was your role as a filmmaker in achieving that pardon?
Well, I don't know if I directly can take the credit for him getting the pardon. I think it's because, you know, when we first started filming this, Kasim was the current junior middleweight champion of the world, and shortly after winning that belt, the government said that if Kasim ever returns home, he would be tried for desertion, and Kasim knew that the punishment for desertion was death. The first fight that I filmed with Kasim, he lost his title, and it took about a year, ultimately, for him to make a comeback. And fortunately, you know, due to Kasim's skills as a boxer, he had the opportunity to fight Jermaine Taylor for the middleweight championship of the world. And this was huge news in Uganda, absolutely huge. And I think the government was more open to talking about it. I think they were looking at, you know, potentially making this into a good PR campaign for Uganda, mm-hmm. Kasim returning home. I think if Kasim did not get that fight, he would not have received the pardon. I think with us, with the cameras there, we were, in a sense, Kasim's built-in protection, because I think there was a lot of fear, particularly on Kasim's end, that he would go back and the government would still arrest him, that it was a trick. And I am not, you know, Kasim made it clear that he was not going to go back unless he had camera crews with him and this sort of illusion of protection, which really is what it was. But, you know, I never felt like there was any kind of danger with the government. It would not have made sense for the government to pull anything like that. I was more concerned, actually, of potentially a civilian taking a shot at Kasim. Mm. You know, I don't know, you know, how many people Kasim has killed, who has a vendetta against him, if, you know, you never know. And there was massive crowds in Uganda. I mean, thousands of people. So that was my initial fear, but that dissipated quite quickly.
Kasim, you are you're really open and you're unashamed to show emotional pain, like we see you cry in the film. But when I see you boxing, you don't reflect any physical pain. And so I had to laugh in the scene in the film. The only time we see you in physical pain is when this woman is braiding your hair into cornrows. And you tell her, you're like, stop, this is not a war, this is just hair. Is that the most pain you ever feel?
Well, like, you know, the pain that I feel right now is, you know, just for the hair, as you say. And in the ring, it's my therapy, because I've been had a lot of pain, a lot. So I use boxing as my therapy. I don't have to feel any pain for it.
And how do you really, I mean, how do you, I'm sure the last thing Kasim feels in the ring is fear. When you've gone through what he's gone through, you could pretty much throw anyone in the ring with him. And I mean, that's what struck me when I first saw him fight, was he was smiling in the ring. And I'm sure it was intimidating for his opponent to have Kasim there with a big smile right before pummeling him.
Kasim and Keith, and we have the smile right now. Thanks, Kasim. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guests have been Kasim Uma and Keith Davidson. The film Kasim the Dream just had its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York and will be screening there all week. You can find out more about it on our website, morefairgame.org.